Thank you. Counsel, you may take the podium.
Well, thank you. May it please the court, and thank you, Chief Justice and Justices, for the opportunity to provide testimony here today. I'm Tony Gebhardt from the Wisconsin Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and WCADV is the statewide organization that represents and works with over 60 victim service providers throughout Wisconsin. Our members serve all of Wisconsin's 72 counties and 11 tribes. And court security is, of course, a key concern for our members, their staff, who work with victims in all of Wisconsin's courthouses, and most importantly, it's a key concern for domestic violence victims. So therefore, we support and very much appreciate the effort and energy that has gone into this rule petition. As the court knows, WCADV wrote the court last week regarding our concerns with concealed carry legislation and regarding policies for the concealed carry of weapons in Wisconsin courts. I was informed that our letter was forwarded to the committee that has been working on this rule petition, and therefore I wanted to come here and discuss our letter with the court at the hearing. So just to briefly summarize the letter, we explained to the court that victims of domestic violence often have no choice but to face their abusers in court proceedings. That most often happens in matters affecting the family, in restraining order hearings, and in criminal actions. And the letter informed the court that separation is often the most dangerous time for a victim of domestic violence. All the research indicates, and our experience publishing the Wisconsin Domestic Violence Homicide Report shows, that that really is the critical time when victims are at the most risk. And because of that connection between the physical space of the courthouse as a confrontation site between victims and abusers, and the increased risk for lethality, we're concerned in particular about a provision of 2011 Wisconsin Act 35, that's the concealed carry legislation, which states that neither a licensee, a concealed carry licensee, who is a district attorney, an assistant district attorney, or a person to whom a judge has granted written permission is prohibited by statute from carrying a weapon in a Wisconsin courthouse or courtroom. And in the letter, we stated our belief that there really is no place for firearms or other weapons in Wisconsin courts except with trained law enforcement officers. We view the presence of weapons in Wisconsin courthouses as really hampering the administration of justice in our state. And we talked about what I would call a chilling effect. If victims believe that there's the potential that an abuser or some other dangerous person is armed in a courthouse, that it might affect their ability or willingness to come before the court and seek justice and protection, or that it might hamper their ability to give effective testimony or participate to the fullest extent in some of those proceedings. We're, of course, also concerned about the risk for fatal and tragic incidents that could take place in Wisconsin courtrooms. As Judge Warren told you about this morning, certainly matters affecting the family and other legal actions can be highly volatile, emotionally charged, and contentious. People don't always act rationally at those types of proceedings. And in fact, just last week, about 3 days after we sent our letter to this court, there was an incident in Milwaukee County that I think illustrates our concerns. Robert Soley was before the court on a probation review related to a domestic violence conviction. And after he was ordered into custody, he made some outbursts and attempted to gain control of a sheriff's deputy's taser. He had to be restrained by two sheriff's deputies and actually had to be disabled with the use of an electronic weapon himself. So what I'd ask the court to imagine is to imagine a situation in which perhaps the prosecutor in that case also had a weapon or a firearm. And if Mr. Soley decided that rather than to try and overtake a sheriff's deputy, a trained law enforcement officer, Mr. Soley thought it was a better idea to try to overtake a prosecutor who might not have experience in those matters and to gain access to a weapon that way. Or if Mr. Soley knew that another person in the courtroom or a member of the public was allowed to carry a concealed weapon and tried to gain access to a deadly weapon that way. Or, heaven forbid, that someone like Mr. Soley, a domestic abuser, would be granted legal permission by a judge to carry a weapon in a Wisconsin courthouse. That, of course, raises the question, why would a judge ever do that. Why would a judge grant permission to someone who is potentially dangerous? And really, we can talk from our experience as the Domestic Violence Coalition. In domestic violence cases, often the abuser does not appear to be someone who is threatening in terms of their public persona. Often they can be an upstanding member of the community, a community leader. And so just kind of a judge's gut check as to whether this person is a threat or not, we don't feel be sufficient. Compounding the problem, the statute doesn't provide any standards or guidelines. So the permission that is granted under the statute could extend indefinitely. So it could be granted at one time when someone is at one point in their life, and then after some time passes and that person is in a different situation or in a different mental state, it could still be applicable and they could still think that it would be a good idea to bring a gun to a court proceeding. I also, you know, think there's a possibility that there are some judges in our state, I don't know this for sure, but I think it's a possibility, that some judges believe that individuals have a constitutional right to carry guns in government buildings in particular. And therefore, we might find that some judges are very lenient in their granting of permission under the statute. And that could be a way in which someone who is a threat or is potentially violent could gain the legal right to carry a gun in Wisconsin courthouses and courtrooms. And because the statute doesn't require any disclosure, either to this court or to the public, without more guidance, we may never know the extent to which that is happening. So I'd like to take a moment just to talk about the suggestions we made to the court in our letter. Our first and primary suggestion was that this court promulgate a rule that only sworn on-duty law enforcement officers or other security personnel be allowed to go armed in Wisconsin courthouses and courtrooms. But we also suggested alternatively that if the court did not take that step, that there was a need to put some regulation around the judge's granting of permission to a licensee to go armed in Wisconsin courthouses. First of all, the plain text of the exception does not specify that a judge can only grant permission with respect to a courtroom that judge exclusively controls. So under the plain text of the statute, theoretically a judge in Brown County, for example, could grant permission, and that permission could theoretically extend to La Crosse County or any other county. And so we think that's a situation that this court needs to address and provide some structure around. We also asked that this court consider regulation that only permission could only be granted after an individualized determination, so that there is not a situation where judges are granting blanket permission or permission that isn't informed, at least minimally informed, of the risks that a particular individual poses. And as I just mentioned, we ask that there be sufficient notice to the public and to the court system when permission is granted. We also think that there should be precautions when a licensee to whom permission has been granted chooses to go armed in a courthouse or a courtroom. And our basic request is that law enforcement be involved when that happens, that the weapon and the individual be escorted by law enforcement from the door of the courthouse through the common areas to the courtroom to which the judge has granted permission. As an absolute minimum, we suggested to the court that it promulgate a rule that a licensee may not go armed on any day that the licensee or a member of the licensee's family is appearing in an action, and we suggested that that apply to actions affecting the family, restraining order hearings, and criminal proceedings. Although, I guess I'll add that the court might consider extending that to all actions, because I don't think we could come up with an exhaustive list of the types of actions that are emotionally charged and contentious. Before concluding, I want to address something that came up this morning, and that is whether the issues that we raise should be addressed in this rule petition or through some other mechanism. When sending our letter, it wasn't necessarily our intent to request that this rule petition be modified in any particular way to deal with our concerns. We were aware that the court is generally considering policies related to concealed carry, and felt it imperative that we inform the court of the issues that we have and make some suggestions. We feel that the court and the court system is best positioned to determine exactly the procedural mechanism by which it considers and hopefully resolves these issues. So we express that deference. But while I express that deference, I want to underline that we feel that this is an urgent issue, that we are in flux, and that there is a need to get clarity around these safety issues. And so that we strongly urge the court to deal with these concerns, either in this rule petition or by some other mechanism. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions, and thank you again for the time this afternoon.
Any comments or questions? You and I have spoken, and the first conversation related to John Velker's material, which related to concealed carry with regard to this court's space, mm-hmm. the courtroom and the justices' chambers, the Court of Appeals space, chambers and courtrooms, and space that is used by administrative staff in Madison. They have covered DCA is outside. I just have to look at that again. And you talked about the need that for regulating or considering regulation concealed with regard to domestic violence, which would broaden what he was doing. And I said, if you're interested, you should tell us so we are fully aware of it. And that may come up if we get time later today. With regard to this petition, as you heard me say and as you heard the two judges say, that's sort of a sideline mm-hmm. that they touched on very gently. And that they had grave reservations about trying to do something for all the courts in the entire state. So if I were going to predict, I would not predict that the court would hold this up. But we'll see. We're having a meeting right afterwards, and it's a public meeting about that. Now, the other two pieces of information I want to give you is that as you also heard this morning, various circuit courts, various districts are adopting procedures for their districts in the Milwaukee, and there may be others, but I just picked Milwaukee. Ask their fellow judges across the state not to extend their permission to outside counties. You know, that's just right. A request. In some of the counties, though, they're saying if you come from outside the county, you judge, come from outside the county, and you judge carry outside, then when you come in, okay, we may have a no carry, no concealed carry, but if you do have such a license, you've got to advise the chief judge, advise mm-hmm. the sheriff, put everybody on notice so that they are aware that there's an armed person in that courtroom. And you heard me ask the county association representative to send in information about what the county is doing. It's easy if they say no one should carry your perspective.
I think that's correct, and I do have a little bit of information about what's happening at the county level.
Okay.
A survey that I'm aware of shows that over 75% of counties have banned concealed carry in county buildings, and conceivably that would include most courthouses. There are some counties not included in that number.
I worry about that if the local judge feels differently and there may be a conflict.
That's exactly my point, is that
okay, sorry.
Yeah, is that given the way the statute is written, there could be potential conflicts between a judge's permission and a county ordinance or a local rule. And in fact, in one county where concealed carry is not allowed in the courthouse by operation of a court rule or a resolution from the judges, I'm aware of court personnel in that county that think that another judge's permission, even a judge from another county, would supersede that. And mm-hmm. As I said in my testimony, we think that's one reason that this court should act, because there is this potential for conflict and confusion.
We're going to have to wait and see. In addition to that, on the agenda, with the court meets once a year with a whole number of affiliated groups to the court, and one is the chief judges and district court administrators, and concealed carry is one of the subjects. I don't know what the discussion is going to be, but obviously it's not settled out among the local trial judges, and there will be some discussion on that. So, as I said this morning, from my perspective, this is an area of flux, hasn't been settled. Most things aren't settled, but at least not even for moments.
Right.
And that there's supposed to be a trailer bill. I don't know where it is or what it says, which might take care of some of this. And one of the problems in the concealed carry is that the words courthouse and courtroom aren't defined.
Correct. And I have heard also about the potential for a trailer bill. And I don't know where to, if I should be optimistic about this particular issue being addressed in the trailer bill, just based on some of the things that I've heard. But, you know, as a bottom line, we feel that it's this court's responsibility as superintendent of the Wisconsin State Courts to make sure that the matter is addressed. And I understand that certainly things are in flux right now and that it takes time for the local courts to deal with this issue, but I think we're interested in making sure that there is some guidance so that in the not-too-distant future we can come to some clarity and some resolution of these issues.
Well, depending on what happens, you may have to draft your own rule.
It's possible.
And propose it.
It's possible.
Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, thank you very much for your letter.
Thank you
for appearing.
Thank you. Thank
giving
you.
Giving us information on a very important issue. Is anyone else here who would like to speak on behalf of or in opposition to the petition on court facilities and security? Hearing and seeing none, Judge Boren, do you want to make any closing comments?
The committee appreciates the time that the court has put in today in reviewing the proposed rule and what you've done before today to get up to speed with it. We think everything is before the court for you to consider the rule. On the comments that have been made, we believe, as the county representative indicated, that we've addressed that shall and should issue, and it's been somewhat amended today with regard to the bench construction, mm-hmm. which is, I think, an excellent concept and an excellent idea. The issue with the public defender, had the public defender's rationale been fully ventilated with the committee, I think we would have agreed with the committee, or I didn't mean the state committee, but with the public defender's position that they have a person on. They make a good argument. I've heard the argument before. I never focused on it relative to the representative of the committee. So I think that has merit. With regard to the conceal and carry issue, it's a complex matter. All the issues that were just presented to the court are certainly all there. Safety has to be paramount. A lot of concerns with everyone who deals with these cases, these issues with the personnel involved on a daily basis. I hope that almost in thinking it through, I would almost want to have a separate focus on it as a way to how do we really address a statute that's vague, that's really, really very broad, and how it impacts not only individual judges but the entire court system. Maybe that's a separate issue for another committee or a task force to focus on and get information from everyone who's a stakeholder and has all these ideas and concepts that we can lay it out and flesh it out. Sometimes, in my view, in controversial issues, and this is a controversial matter, you need time and you need patience to think it through, to evaluate ideas, to sort of weigh and balance, and to reflect. And you can't always do that in a short period of time. So I'd urge you to consider that as an approach to the conceal and carry issue. It's certainly an important issue. It's a dangerous issue, if you will, one that we have to be alert to for everyone's safety. And I thank you again for your time today. I certainly appreciated the opportunity of appearing before each of you. It's been a number of years since I made an argument to the Supreme Court, so I welcome the chance. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Judge Bourne. Are there any other comments on this matter? If not, the hearing on 1103 in the matter of the petition to repeal and recreate Supreme Court Rules 70.38-70.39 relating to court security and facilities is closed. The court will reconvene and open administrative conference in just a few moments. Marshall will set up the courtroom appropriately, and we shall be back. And if I could see you, Julie. Thank you. We are adjourned.